B'choros Perek Zayin, Mishnah Aleph 7:1, a new perek and really a new topic. And the truth is the topic has nothing to do with B'choros directly. In the previous perek, we talked about the mumen, the defects, which make an offering unfit to be brought. Here we're going to talk in the seventh perek of B'choros about the defects and other, I'll call them imperfections, that make it that a person isn't fit to do the avoda as a kohen in the base of Mikdash. Okay, so nothing to do with B'choros per se, but since we're talking about mumen and blemishes, and there's a big overlap in the psukim and the halachas between defects that apply to animals for korbanos and defects, those same defects limiting a person or prohibiting a person from serving in the Beis Midrash as a Kohen. So we mention it here in this chapter. So these imperfections, let's call them, come in three levels. The most fundamental is a mum, a defect like we had in the previous perek. And the pasuk says explicitly, "Ish." If you have a person like a kohen, "Ashayiya v'mum lo yikrav." A person who has a blemish cannot draw close to the avoda. Therefore, kohanim who have the blemishes that we saw in the previous perek in their person would not be allowed through the avoda. But that is true for a permanent blemish. As far as a mum over, some defect which is temporary, so while he has it, he cannot do the avoda. But if and when it resolves itself, so then he once again would be permitted to do the avoda. That's also because the next pasuk says, "Ki chol ish asher vo mum lo yikrav." That's repetitive, of course, unless you understand. Asher ish, excuse me, ish asher bo mum. While he has the blemish, he can't draw close to the avoda. But once he, once it's resolved, now he could. So that's the first level. The second level is also based on psukim, different psukim, that we bring in the children of Aaron explicitly, that, you know, the Aaron's descendants. The pasuk says, "Kol isha sher bo mum mizera Aaron ha kohen lo yigash la krives ishe Hashem." So the question is, what in the world do you bring in Aaron's descendants for? We know that from elsewhere. So we understand it means mizera Aaron ha kohen. We understand it to mean he has to be. Similar or not unlike the other descendants of Aaron HaKohen through the avoda, which means if he has some irregularity which makes him unusual to the point, these are my words, I didn't say this anymore, but I'm suggesting, so unusual that a person, you know, a kid who's walking with his mother in the store says, "Oh my goodness, look at that," you know, I'm talking the three-year-old kid, says, mommy, look at that man, look how funny his head shaped." That level of unusualness, and the Mishnah will define like what we're talking about over here, becomes a second reason why a person can't do the avoda, even though it's not, technically speaking, a defect, a blemish, but it's something aesthetic. He aesthetically looks peculiar, and he doesn't look like other people, and the pasuk is requiring he has to look like other people, like other descendants of Aaron. This guy doesn't. He has a very unusual look about him, something very, you know, irregular. So then he isn't to do the avoda in the base of Mikdash. If he does, however, b'di'evid, it will be kosher. Then you have a third level, which is something that's called maris ein. It's something he just simply also aesthetic. He just doesn't look handsome. He doesn't look attractive. He looks so unsightly that it's just not appropriate that he does the avoda. Such a person who does the avoda b'di'evid it'll be kosher. But the rabbi said such a person shouldn't function as a kohen in the Beis Midrash doing the avoda. It's not consistent with the values of what we want. We want people to sort of be representative of the kohanim almost are like furniture in the Beis Hamikdash. They like function as part of the Beis Hamikdash, and it's not appropriate to have someone who's that unsightly. That's the third level, if you will. So we'll see those inside. The first Mishnah begins by saying, "Mumim elu," the list of defects, the blemishes we said in the previous perek regarding the animals. "Bein kavun, bein overn," whether or not we're talking about now with respect to people, whether the blemish is permanent or only temporary. "Postlin ba'adam," they make it that a person, a kohen, can't serve in the Beis Midrash in the capacity as a kohen doing the avoda. So we'll see a difference here. When it comes to a technical mum of a defect from the previous perek, that's something intrinsic to the creature. So while it has it, it's not fit to do the avoda or be brought as a korban in the case of an animal. The next level down, if you will, where you're just not like the other mizara, like the other descendants of Aaron HaKohen. So it seems to me, and I'll show you why in the Mishnah said, this is just me speaking. It seems to me that like plastic surgery could resolve that. If you fix a problem, you're back okay, because it's how you look, and now you look normal, so now you can serve once again. Okay? And certainly the third level, if we're talking about Maris Ayin, how you look ugly if you don't look ugly anymore, of course, it's permitted. There's just a rabbinic issue. Okay, so now the Mishnah is going to start listing these, I'll call it level two things, where you don't look like other people, and therefore you can't do the Avodah as a Kohen. These halachas don't really have application outside of Kohanim doing the Avodah, although there is a, in, we learn in Ksubas, if a couple gets married, you know, sight unseen, and the chasan and kala didn't see each other, if these are sort of objective imperfections that we could assume a normal husband would say, I don't want a wife that looks like that, and therefore she has these problems, that could be grounds like essentially mekachtos to undo the marriage, undo the ksuba, etc. Okay, but anyways, over here, so it says, first of all, you have hakilon. The first is the kilon. The kilon, it's from the word achla, which is like a lid of a pot, which is sort of pointy on top. The idea is if the person has a pointed head, that's so, again, these are my words, but I think this is the must be the pshat, so pointed that, you know, a small child who doesn't have a filter yet would say, Mama, look at that person's head. It looks like, the you know, point like a pot lid or something. That guy is too unusual looking through the Avodah. He's not like other people, like other, you know, descendants of Aaron. And the halaftan, from the word lefet. The lefet is a turnip. Okay, if you know what a turnip looks like, this guy essentially has like, you know, like a flat wide top of his head and like a skinny bottom of his head. That's a bartender learned, so his head looks like a turnip. The Rambam, I understand, sort of his head's like almost like on a stalk, like a skinny neck and whatever, okay? So the point is, again, very unusual looking, so strange that he'd become not fit through the Avodah. Also Hamakaban, the word like Yehuda Maccabee, the, you know, Yehuda the hammer. So the Pasuk talks about a hammer, a makevet, and look and show it to him, Perek Dal Chafalef. So a makevet is like a hammer. This person's like a hammerhead shaped person, meaning the front of his head protrudes out like a hammer or mallet, or the back of his head protrudes out like a hammer or mallet. So it looks so strange because he's so disproportionate protruding the front or the back of his head that, again, he's not fitting to the Avodah. Same goes Visharosha Shakua. If the front of his head is like sunken in, like someone like, I don't know, something like, as if someone like smushed in his forehead, that kind of thing. Or Ushkifas, or the looks like the back of his head doesn't come out at all. Like it looks like he's missing a piece out of the back of his head. Like this, his skull is formed so, again, so irregularly that it stands out that, so to speak, a person would say, a little kid would say, well, look at that person's head, he's missing part of his skull, or that kind of thing. Those people are invalid to the Avodah. Now, finally, we have Bali Ha-Chatoteret. Now, this I see translated all over the place as a hunchback. That's not a good translation, I don't think, in my opinion. The issue here is Machlokas, we're about to see it inside. If you have a person who has like a large like lump of flesh, let's say like a tumor, okay, that kind of thing, so it's protruding out of his back, let's say. Love Dafka's back, but let's say his back. So he's got like a big hump on his back. But it's not that a humpback is someone who's you know, his spine is very curved, okay? That's not the case over here. You'll see in a second. Because the machlokas is, what happens if the person has this big protrusion, but it's not skeletal? It's nothing. His bone structure is normal, but he has some sort of like on his flesh, like there's a big fat or tumor, you know, that lumps out of him, that bumps out. Is that also a problem? So the Tanakama, excuse me, so the Hachamim say, yes, it is a problem. It doesn't matter that his skeleton is normally shaped, but the point is that when you look at him, he looks peculiar, not like the other descendants of Aaron Cohen. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda's Machshir, Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's not skeletal, it's not substantial enough to invalidate him, even though, yes, he looks kind of strange, but that's not strange enough. It has to be like a bone. The bones have to be misformed in some way. So that being the case, Bale Chatotreres means someone who's like got a big protrusion of like a tumor or a fat lump or something that sticks out, like say off his back. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, Rabbi Yehuda says that's okay because there's no bone there. V'chacham post and the chacham say no, if it looks that strange, it's still not fitting to the Avodah. Halacha is like the Chachamim.